Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, we are in the middle of a series called Overcome. And if you were here last week, you know we started it with a very bold statement. This is the bold statement. You are destined for greatness. You. And you. And you. And you. And yes, you. Every one of us in this room, this statement is true. You are destined for greatness. Now, if you're a guest today, you're like, you don't even know me. How do you know that's true? Well, we began the series last week, and if you missed it, I encourage you at some point this week, check out this website, wellspringchurch.tv/overcome. Go back and see where we've been, because we're standing by this statement. We believe it is true for every single person in this room, everybody watching online. We believe that you are destined for greatness. And the reason we believe that is because we know our Creator. We know God. We know what His plans are for our life. We know why He created us. But I know for many of you, you sit in the room and you want to push back. You're going to say, man, there's just no way that can be true about me. And so what we've been doing in this series is we're studying the life of a man who felt just like you felt. He felt like there was no way God could use him to change the world. His name was Moses. And if you're familiar at all with Moses' story, God used Moses to literally rescue the nation of Israel from slavery, rescue them from Egypt, and to take them to the promised land. But Moses had no idea what God had in store for his life. And so last week, we went back to the very beginning of Moses' life, because what I was trying to do was to convince you that not only is this true in your life, but that God's been at work in your life getting you ready for this before you even realized it. And so what we did is we went back to the very beginning of Moses' life. And we discovered a couple of things about Moses that are also true about us. Number one, we discovered that God picked you. God picked Moses, and God picked you. God loves you. God picked you before you were even born. He loved you so much that he was willing to send his son 2,000 years ago to the other side of the world to sacrifice his life so that he could have a relationship with you. Yes, you. That's how much he loves you. God picked Moses. God picked you. But not only has God picked you, God's protected you. Just like you protected Moses. If you remember the story, Moses was born into a situation to where the government was trying to kill every male Jewish child that was born was supposed to be killed. Moses was born into that. Moses was protected from that. In the same way, God has protected you in your life. The reason I know he's protected you is because you're here today. Doesn't mean he protected you from pain. We've all had pain. It just means you're still here. You still have a pulse. And as you said last week, the old preacherism I grew up with, if you have a pulse, you have a purpose. God has you here for a reason. God picked you. God protected you. Not only that, just like Moses, God has positioned you right now for this moment. I said it last week. You're not here by accident. You think you just happened to show up, but I believe that God has been orchestrating steps to bring you here for this moment so you can hear this truth. I also believe he's positioned you in your life. He's positioned you to make the difference that he wants to make through you. Now, I know if today is your first time, if you're a guest, if you don't believe in God, you hear all these things and you just think, man, there's just no way that this is true about me. You don't know my life. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I'm still doing. You don't know what I plan to do. Like you don't know what's going on. I get babe and true at one point, but there's no way this is true for me. And I understand why you feel that way. I disagree. But I understand why you felt that way. And it's the reason we're studying this guy, Moses. Because if you were here last week, you know Moses was born and Pharaoh's daughter kind of adopts him. And he's raised in Pharaoh's household. Pharaoh was the king of Egypt, and he's raised in Pharaoh's household. But as I told you last week, at the age of 40, he sees an Egyptian guard mistreating some of his Jewish people that he knew. And he loses his temper, and wait for it, he kills the guy. Yeah. He commits murder. He just murders the Egyptian guard. He doesn't go turn himself in. He hides the body, and he just goes on about his life. Well, somebody turns him in. Somebody's like, hey, you killed a guy. He's dead. You killed a guy. And Pharaoh finds out, and it didn't matter that Moses was raised in Pharaoh's home. Pharaoh gets angry, and so Pharaoh orders that Moses be arrested and killed. And so Moses flees. At the age of 40, he flees to the desert. 40-year-old murderer goes to the desert and just starts wandering, meets a family, meets a guy named Jethro, and marries his daughter, and works for Jethro as a shepherd for 40 years. So where we pick up in the story of Moses, he is an 80-year-old murderer who has been wandering in the desert for 40 years. Do you still feel unqualified to serve with God? Hopefully, I'm tempted. Do we have any 80-year-old murderers? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. But I think it's especially appropriate for us because he's been wandering for 40 years. He's escaping something and has been wandering for 40 years. And as I was preparing to teach this, it occurred to me that this is the appropriate, perfect setting for us because we live in Myrtle Beach. And this is the place people come to escape. This is the place people come to wander. Now, some of you moved here on purpose. My wife and I, we moved here on purpose. I moved here because I felt like God wanted us to move here and start a church. But be honest, most people that you meet, when you say, hey, how'd you up in Myrtle Beach? They never have an answer. It's never, well, I got a promotion. No, it's always, well, it's cold where I live. That's usually the answer. Or you know, it's always, well, things didn't work out here, things didn't work out there, things didn't work out. So people move here for a fresh start. They move here to wander. They move here to escape. And we give them all sorts of ways to do that. But to me, it's so appropriate because I'm sure there are those of us in the room today who feel like you've just been wandering. And you've been wondering if there's anything left for your life. And that's where we pick up Moses' story today, because my goal, again, the whole series is to convince you that you are destined for greatness. And I know you don't feel that way yet, but so the way I want to convince you is I want to take you to the moment where God reveals to Moses that Moses was destined for greatness. Again, he didn't realize this until he was 80 years old. But through God's invitation and through Moses' response, there are a couple of principles I believe we can learn for our lives. And my prayer is, as you discover these things in Moses' life, you'll begin to see them in yours, and you'll leave here today a little more convinced than you were when you got here that God's real, that he loves you, and that he really does have a plan for your life, and that you really are destined for greatness. So, as I said last week, if you're a skeptic, I get it. Give me the next 32 minutes. Give us two more weeks, and at the end of the time, if you're still skeptic, we'll talk then. But I'm telling you, man, God has you here for a reason. He's picked you. He's protected you. He's positioned you right here, right now. And I believe it's because he wants to change your life. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 3 is where we're going to be. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus is the second book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. Exodus tells a story of the exit. Cool name, huh? The exit of God's people from Egypt and their journey to the promised land, but we'll get to all that later. Right now, at the beginning of Exodus chapter 3, we find Moses, an 80-year-old murderer, wandering in the desert. I wonder, can any of us relate today? Let's see. Let's jump in. Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 1. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, who was the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. He's just being a shepherd. He's just doing his job. Just doing his job. Just going about his own regular life. And watch what happens. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement, and though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. So he's walking along. There's this bush. It's on fire, but it's not burning. It's on fire. It's not burning. And this is what he says. He says, this is amazing. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. Now, a couple of things are happening here. A couple of things. Number one, Moses is just going about his daily life. Moses is just doing what he thinks he's supposed to be doing. He's in the desert tending sheep. It never occurred to Moses that God was about to invite him into do something that was going to change his life forever. Do you understand that's typically how God works? God doesn't always give us a heads up on the invitation. And notice, he didn't say Moses had to do something before he got invited. There was no code Moses had to meet. Moses was just going about his own everyday life, and then God stepped into the moment and invited him. That's what I believe God's doing for us. He's just stepping into your moment. And look what drove Moses in. He saw something amazing, and he had to go check it out. He had to go see what was happening. He sees this bush. It's on fire, but it's not burning up. It's amazing. He has to go see it. God drew Moses to himself. If I may be so bold, I believe some of you are here today for the very same reason. You're not 100% sure why you're here. But God's up to something in someone's life that you know. And you're just trying to see if it's real. It could be your spouse. It could be your kids. It could be your parents. It could be a friend or a family member, a neighbor, a coworker. But something has got your attention. It is time change Sunday. You had every excuse in the world not to come to church. But you're here. You're here. You're here because something has your attention. Something has gotten noticed. There is some part of you that is beginning, maybe for the first time, to say, what if this is real? I'm not sure I believe it's real yet, but what if it's real? What if all this is going on? Because I see what happens to him, and I see what's happened in her life, and I see what's going on over here, and I can't really explain it. So I don't know what it is, but something is drawing me in. God, that's how God does it. God invites you in. God draws you in. And this is what happens. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." "And here I am," Moses replied. Now, I grew up in church. Sunday school my entire life. Probably heard this story for the first time when I was like 3 or 4 years old. Okay. 38 now, was studying, and it never occurred to me until I read it here. How cool do you think it was for Moses that God knew his name? He was 80 years old, had never heard from God. And the first interaction, God says, "Moses, Moses." God knows his name. How cool is that? He had been wandering for 40 years. He was a murderer. He probably felt completely separated from his Heavenly Father. But his Heavenly Father draws him in, and not only does he draw him in, he knows his name. Do you know today that God knows your name? And when he says your name, and when he sees your face, and when he thinks about you, he doesn't do it with judgment, he doesn't do it with a scowl, he doesn't do it upset. It brings a smile to his face. He has joy when he thinks about you. He longs to have a relationship with you. That's how God felt about Moses in that moment. That's how God feels about you today. He's drawing you in, and he knows your name because he loves you with all his heart. And he knows more about you than you think. That's what he's about to show Moses. He continues talking to Moses, and he says, "The Lord looked down and said, 'I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering.'" Moses, not only do I know you, Moses, I know what bothers you. Moses, I know what worries you. I know what concerns you. I know you've got friends and family back there, and I know it worries you. It worries me too. I'm aware of what's happening. You may feel like I've gone, but I haven't. To you today, he's like, I know what keeps you up at night. I know how worried you are about your children. I know how worried you are about your parents or your grandparents. I know how worried you are about your job or your nephew. I know how worried you are about your neighbors. I know, and I'm aware, and I'm with you. Not only am I aware, not only am I with you, I have a plan for that. That's what he says next. He says, so Moses, I've come down to rescue them from the Egyptians and to lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It's like, Moses, I'm here, buddy, because I know what bothers you and it bothers me, and I want to go rescue these people. We're going to go rescue these people. And at this point, Moses is like, this is the greatest day of my life. Like, there's this burning bush, and God knows my name. God knows what bothers me. God knows what keeps me up at night. God's telling me he sees it. God's telling me he's going to solve it. You go, God. Yeah. And then God offers Moses an invitation. It's going to sound like a command, but it was an invitation. He says, "Now go, Moses, for I am sending you to Pharaoh, and you must lead my people
out of Egypt.
Moses, I know what bothers you, it bothers me. I know what worries you, it worries me. And guess what? I'm going to solve that problem. And hey, Moses, I'm going to solve it through you. So let's go. See, what I believe God is revealing to us today through this story is a couple things about him. Number one, he sees what bothers us and it hurts him too. He sees the suffering, he sees the pain, because see, this story of the nation of Israel was just the first of many examples where God uses the nation of Israel to foreshadow what he's going to do for the entire world. As a precursor, the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, were in slavery, so he sent someone to set them free. That was a foreshadowing, that was a precursor to what God was going to do for the entire world through his son Jesus, because all of us are trapped in sin. And we're all slaves to sin, but he sent his son to set us free. And he was inviting Moses to participate with him on his first of many rescue missions, a rescue mission that was fully and finally set in place. On a Sunday, we're going to celebrate a few weeks from now, when Jesus not only died on a Friday, but on Sunday, he walked out of the grave and began the greatest rescue mission this world has ever known. And see, the reason that I can say to everyone in this room today that you are destined for greatness, the reason I can say that is because that rescue mission is still ongoing. And that rescue mission is why we were created. And God invites, just as he did with Moses, every one of us in this room to not only be rescued ourselves, but to join him in that rescue mission. To join him in his mission to set this world free from sin and shame and doubt and fear. To be set free from addictions. To be set free from pain. And to be set free for the life he came to give us. See, God was simply showing us through Moses what he was going to invite us all to do. I mean, think about it. What could be greater than being used by the God of the universe to change someone's eternity? And every one of us in this room, just like Moses, was created for that very purpose, to be created, not only to be set free ourselves, but for God to move through us to rescue others. So when he says it to Moses, it's like he's saying it to us. He's saying, hey, go. Go to the place that worries you. Go to the place that you're upset about. Go to the place that you don't know what to do. That's the very place I want to send you to save the world. Now, most of us in this room react like Moses reacts in this moment. God, you're going to do something? Great. God, you're going to rescue those people? Great. God, you want me to help? No, wait a minute. Oh, wait, what now? In fact, here's what Moses says back to, again, God, burning bush, knew his name. I know what's wrong with you, buddy. I want to go save these people. Moses is like, yeah. He's like, hey, let's go. I want you to help. Moses is like, ease up, dog. Here's what he says. He says, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? God, who am I to do this? See, Moses has a very normal reaction most people have when they hear that God wants to use them to change the world. Who am I? Whoa. You got the wrong guy here. I can't do this. I'm not equipped for this. That's not how it works. But see, a lot of us have a misconception about God. No, surprising. But we do. We have a lot of misconceptions about God. One of the misconceptions is this. What Moses heard was that this was a relay race, right? Or like a game of tag. And that God had brought Moses to this moment. And that God was saying, hey, Moses, I want you to go rescue those people. Tag, you're it. Go. All on your own. All on your own strength. Go. That's what Moses heard. And it scared him. And let me be very clear. That should scare you. That should scare me. That should scare all of us. The idea of doing something for God in our strength and in our capacity should terrify us, because we're not equipped for that. We're broken people. We mess up. But see, what Moses missed is that God wasn't saying, hey, I have something for you to go do. God was saying, I have something for us to go do. Come with me. We have a job to do, which is what he says next. Moses is like, whoa. Who am I? And he answers this way. He says, hey, I will be with you. He said, no, buddy. Moses. No, man. No. No, I'm asking you to do something with me. I'm not asking you to do something for me. It's with me. I'm going to be with you every step of the way. It's how I can boldly declare to everyone in this room today that you are destined for greatness. You are. And when I say that, you push back. You're like, man, no. Who am I to do that? I don't understand. And you know what? It's not about who you are. It's about whose you are. You belong to our Heavenly Father, and anything He's going to call you to do, He's going to walk with you. So when you want to push back like Moses did, you're like, I'm not destined for greatness. Rest in this first of the three kind of truths that I believe God reveals to us through this text. Here's number one. Your purpose will require God's presence. Whatever it is you think God's calling you to do, whatever step you want to take, it will require a relationship with God. Because of course it will, right? Of course it will. Your purpose will require God's presence. Specifically, it will require you to have an active, growing relationship with Jesus Christ. To allow Him to move in your life, to grow and to change you. So that you can be led by His Father. So that you can take advantage of the gift He gave us on the cross when He paid the penalty for our mistakes. So that you can take advantage of the power He gave us when He was risen from the dead. He's saying, Moses, buddy, you missed it, man. No. You're not alone in this. I will be with you. Now, if you're sitting here and you're like, preacher man, that's not good enough. Don't worry. It wasn't good enough for Moses either. Moses didn't get it. In fact, Moses pushes back harder. He says, but Moses protested. He's protesting. Like he's protesting God. I don't know if he had like a sign or something, but he's protesting. He's like, no. He says, if I go to the people of Israel, watch this, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me, they will ask, well, what is his name? And then what should I tell them, God? See, this is what we do with God sometimes. We just start coming up with like questions, like, I don't know the answer. And God's like, I'm the answer. Yeah, but God, I don't know the answer. What do I do? I'll tell you. So Moses is like, what if they ask me your name? What am I supposed to say? And so God answers his question. And he tells them, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent you. He's like, there you go. That's my name. You asked. That. Remember I told you I'd be with you. That's my name. Now you know. And then he actually begins and he tells Moses the whole plan. He tells Moses what he's going to do. He tells Moses how it's going to go. He tells Moses that there's going to be some setback, but it's going to be okay. He just tells Moses all this stuff, and it still doesn't work. So Moses didn't really need information because Moses asked for some information. God gave him some information. Moses still asked some questions. So we're going to jump ahead to chapter 4, and here's what Moses says then. He looks at me and says, look, man, what if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? So he's afraid of other people too. Afraid of what other people think. I know nobody in this room struggles with what other people think or say, but this was Moses. This was thousands of years ago. The Bible's totally irrelevant today. But thousands of years ago, people struggled with this problem of what people thought about them and what they said about them and why they only got so many likes for their post and not enough likes, not as many likes as they got last week. Again, thousands of years ago, totally relevant today. But back then, that's what was going on. And Moses was afraid. Man, if I go back and I say this to these people, what's going to be my proof? How am I going to do this? I'm not equipped for this. I'm not prepared. These people know me. They know I'm a murderer. What if they want proof? God, I don't have proof. I don't know what to do in this moment. And this is how God responds. God says, hey, what's that in your hand? Moses is like, it's a shepherd's staff. He was holding his shepherd's staff. And watch what God does. God says, hey, throw it down on the ground. So Moses threw the staff, and it turned into a snake. At this point, I would have probably been out of God's invitation for his rescue mission. But he throws the staff on the ground, turns into a snake. God's not done. Then the Lord told him, reach out and grab its tail. Totally out at that point. Love you, Jesus, but not happening. So Moses reached out, grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. It was his staff. He had the staff. He probably made the staff. He throws it on the ground, turns it into a snake. God says, pick it up. Picks it back up. It turns back into a staff. And so God says this. He says, hey, Moses, perform this sign. If they need proof, do that. Then they will believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, really has appeared to you. He's like, man, this is happening. I'm with you. Like, there's no questions. You're not gonna stump me. And when you're wondering about proof, what you're really saying is, I don't feel equipped. I don't feel like I can prove this in my own. I don't feel like I have enough. And so I don't want you to miss how God answered this question, how he solved this problem. He simply asked Moses. He says, hey, Moses, what is in your hand? In other words, hey, what do you have? What do you already have? What have I already provided you? What is already in your life? Guess what? That's all you need to accomplish, everything I want you to accomplish. See, so many times we try to push back, not only on God, but we try to push back on other areas of our life because we say we're not ready yet. Well, God, I know I should do this, but I'm not ready yet. God, I want kids, but I'm going to wait till I can afford it. See, what God's telling us is he's trying to say to Moses and to us, yes, you are destined for greatness. You are destined for great things. But don't misunderstand what's going to happen here. Because your purpose will require your possessions, not what you will possess in the future. Your purpose will require what you have. And part of that does mean it requires total surrender to God. But it also means you already have what you need to accomplish what God wants. And when you need more, he will give you more. But don't not talk to your friend about Jesus because you don't think you know enough of the Bible. You know enough to have that conversation. Don't say, well, I can't take the step of obedience today because I don't have enough for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. That's what he was saying to Moses. Moses, you already have everything you need. Do everything I want you to do. You have it. It's in your hand. Folks, it's in your hand. God's been equipping you. God's been preparing you in ways you weren't even prepared to experience. Now, again, I would love for you to be convinced right now, but Moses was not, so you're probably not either. Moses is just going through his head. First of all, he's like, who am I to do this? Second, he says, I don't know enough. Third thing he says is, I'm not good enough. God, you don't understand. I got flaws. I got problems. Can't be me. Here's what he says. Moses pleaded with the Lord. Lord, I'm not very good with words, and I never have been. I'm not now. And even though you've spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. Now see, Moses is revealing some pain from his past. He suffered with a speech impediment his entire life. He had a stutter. I'm certain he was mocked his entire life because of it. I'm sure there was pain there because of it. And here God comes and he's like, I want you to go speak to Pharaoh. For me, talk about going straight to the heart of Moses' insecurities and Moses' pain and Moses' fears. But see, I believe there's a reason God did that. I believe God was going straight to Moses' greatest pain and saying, in the process of you fulfilling your purpose, I'm going to heal some of the pain from your past. And I'm going to make it better. And I'm going to use it because I don't want to use you to change the world. I want to give you the best life possible right now. And you're like, well, God, how can you do that? And God says this to Moses and says this to us. He says, who makes a person's mouth? That be me. Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, to us today, what he would say is, hey, you guys are all on the other side of the resurrection. Like, you all know the story about my son. Great guy. He died on a Friday. On a Saturday, he stayed dead. He was very dead. On Sunday, he came back to life. Not in spirit, not his teachings. Like, physically walked out of the grave. And I'm the guy who did that. I'm God. I was powerful enough to raise him from the dead. And I did that for you. I did that to prove to you that that's my power. And then that power is available to you. So whatever I'm calling you to do, whatever I'm asking you to do, whatever pain is from the past, when you want to push back and say, but God, you don't understand because this happened. I do know what happened. And I've already got a plan to use it to change the world. And I've got a plan to make your life better. And I've got a plan to heal those things. And if you need proof I can do it, just remember that I can raise the dead. So what he would say to Moses, what he would say to us, Moses, you're afraid about speaking? I'm the one who made your mouth. And I'm calling you to do this. This is happening, man. Let's go. But see, Moses is like us. And I think Moses is so brave because Moses wrote the book of Exodus. He recorded all this. It's how I know it's real. If Moses was making this story up, you take out the part where you beg God not to use you. You don't leave that in. You say, God asked me once, and I said, yes, God. And you go. You don't make this up. Because God has answered every question. God has solved every problem. God has said, I'll be with you. I'm for you. I can heal you. I can fix this. Let's go. And here's how Moses responds in verse 13. But Moses pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else. God, not me, God, please. Yes, God, you should send someone, and it'll be so great. I want you to go help my friends and family back in Egypt. Please, but please don't send me. Please, please don't use me. Please send anyone else. See, Moses was afraid. He was afraid of failure. He was afraid of rejection. He was afraid of what other people would think. Again, totally irrelevant to us today. But that's what he was afraid of. And his fear caused him, I believe, to cloud his judgment. Because then he writes this line. He says, then the Lord became angry with Moses. Now again, Moses wrote this, and I believe every word of Scripture is true. And I believe God wanted this left in, and I believe Moses felt like God was angry in this moment. But I've read the Bible cover to cover. I've read the totality of who our Heavenly Father is. And in this moment, I do not believe our Heavenly Father was mad at him. I believe our Heavenly Father was heartbroken and frustrated. The way any parent is heartbroken and frustrated when you see your child selling themselves short. When you see your child say, I can't do this, Dad. I can't do this, Mom. And they're doubting themselves and they're fearing themselves as you, but you are their parent. No, they can do it. That's how I believe God felt in this moment. And so for some of you here today who feel like you've kind of blown it too many times, you're kind of past your prime, you've kind of missed your moment with God, and God's mad at you, I just need you to hear me say, God has not and never will be mad at you. Every ounce of madness God ever had for the world, he decided to take out on his son on a cross. So it's all gone. When he looks at us, he sees his son, he sees his daughter that he designed and prepared for greatness. And it breaks his heart when we sell ourselves short. That's how I believe our Heavenly Father actually felt in that moment. And here's why I believe he felt that way. Because he didn't give up on Moses. He didn't turn his back on Moses. He continued to solve Moses' problem. Here's what he said. He said, all right. Hey, what about your brother, Aaron the Levite? Because remember, Moses is afraid of talking. He says, I know he speaks very well. Now watch this. And look, he is on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. Guys, this is how I know God wasn't mad at him. God had already solved the problem before Moses told him he had it. You don't solve a problem and then get mad at someone for telling you they have a problem. Before God even sent the call through the burning bush, he had already called Aaron to come out to meet Moses. He had already solved the problem. It was already on the way. Some of you need to hear this today. Some of the objections, some of the pushbacks you have right now to something God wants to do in your life, you're not doing it, but God's already solved the problem. The solution is already on the way. You may not see it yet, but that's the cool thing about partnering with the God of the universe. Remember, the all-knowing, all-powerful God of the universe who created the earth, he went, and it existed. He's all-powerful, and he's all-knowing. He knows everything, knows past, present, future, knows what's going to happen. That's the guy who's inviting you to partner with him. That's the guy that was inviting Moses. And when Moses pushed back, God didn't get mad. God solved the problem. God had already solved it before they began the conversation. I'm telling you guys, following God is the best. He really does just adore you. And he just wants the best for your life. And he does want to use you to change the world. But see, what I really think was holding back Moses in this moment is what holds all of us back in this moment. Sometimes when we hear God and we say we're destined for greatness and he wants us to do these things, we think it means just us. We think it means we have to do it all alone, that we have to carry the load all by ourselves. And that's just not the way God ever intended it to be. Because again, Aaron was on the way before Moses pushed back. Aaron was already on the way. This was God's plan the whole time. And look what he says in verse 15. He says, hey, he says, talk to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with both of you as you speak, and I will instruct you both in what to do. And this was the point where Moses finally said, okay, I'll go. It wasn't enough for God to simply say, hey, I'll be with you. It wasn't enough for God to simply say, hey, you have all you need. What Moses needed to hear, and what I think many of us need to hear today, is that you won't be alone. See, you are destined for greatness, but it's not just you. See, don't miss this part. Your purpose will require other people. This is not a solo mission. This is God's mission to rescue humanity. It is a mission that was launched on Sunday morning a couple thousand years ago when Jesus walked out of the grave. He launched the rescue mission for the world, and we have been on that same mission ever since. And so when God is calling you to greatness, when God is calling you to participate with him in his rescue mission, it is to participate with him and with his people and with his church. You do not do this alone. Your purpose will require other people, not just you. And this is the point where Moses says, okay, yes, sir, I will go. And next week we'll pick up right here. And we'll see what happens to Moses as he begins to take his next step. But as we close today, my goal for you is that you simply make the decision today to take a step. To take a step towards whatever it is God's created you to do. To take a step towards your greatness, your destiny. The person God created you to be. And it's very simple. Three truths from the life of Moses that I hope you remember. Number one, your purpose will require God's presence. It will. Invite God into your life. Make him a part of your life. Lean on him. Trust him. Follow him. I assure you it'll make your life better. Your purpose will require God's presence. Not only that, your purpose will require your possessions. Not what you will possess, what you currently have. You have all you need to accomplish everything God wants you to accomplish. You just have to be open-handed and say, all right, God, it's all yours. What do you want me to do? So you invite God in. You give him access to all you have. And then number three, your purpose will require other people. You partner with a group of people, this church, in an effort to pursue God's plan for your life. See, at Wellspring, we believe that everyone has a role to play in God's story. Everyone has a role to play in God's rescue mission. I don't know what your role is, but I know you have one. And so it's very simple today. I'm gonna pray for us. We're going to close with a song, and you're going to go home. And you're going to have a choice this week. Choice number one is to just check the box. I went to church and move on with your life. Choice number two is to wrestle all week with what you discovered today. What step do you need to take in your life that requires God's presence? Take it. What step do you need to take in your life that requires your possessions, that requires you to surrender all you have to God? Take it. What step do you need to take in your life that requires other people to accomplish its purpose? That's my prayer this week. Is that you ask God to reveal that step and that you have the courage to take it. Because you are destined for greatness. And if I may be so bold, it's time to stop wasting time settling for anything less than God's best. Let me pray. God, we love you so much. We just thank you for your truth. We thank you for your servant Moses. We thank you that he was humble enough to share both sides of the story so that thousands of years later we could read it and understand that it's okay to wrestle. We thank you that you showed how patiently you answered his questions like you're going to answer ours. And Lord, I just pray right now that you give us strength and wisdom to step towards you, propel us towards your future. Just give us a holy dissatisfaction with normal, a holy dissatisfaction with regular. May we never again settle for anything less than your best in our life. If there are situations around us that we feel overcome by, may you give us the strength to overcome as we pursue you. It's in your amazing son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.